Okay, it's now 10:22. We took a brief recess to set the room up. This is a hearing for interception and forfeiture of excluded casino patrons' winnings. I'm going to call the matter to order. Today's date is December 18th, and the time now is 10:23. The Maine Gambling Board is assembled at the Department of Public Safety at the Central Maine Commerce Center in Augusta. My name is Tim Doyle, and I'm the board chair. This is a board review of the interception of forfeiture winnings of a casino patron who is excluded from gambling activities. Because the individual's name is confidential pursuant to 8 MRS Section 1006, Paragraph 8, he will be identified as Mr. B or Patron B, whichever you prefer, sir. If a board member must leave the room, we'll interrupt the proceeding in order to identify the board member and state their name. That board member may not be able to participate in deliberations after that. As board chair, I'll administer any oaths necessary and regulate the course of the proceeding. I know these are not something probably you do every week, so don't feel uncomfortable. Although it's a formal hearing, just be yourself and tell us what we need to know, and we'll ask questions. No need to be nervous, or any more nervous than me, and I do these all. The full board will make the decision based on the merits of the case. I will not prepare any report of findings or proposed findings separate from the board's decision. Other board members participating in this hearing are, and we'll introduce ourselves just so you know who we are, and I'll begin this time to my right.
Al Schofield.
Bob Harmon.
Barbara Dresser.
Greg McNeil.
Okay, thank you. Assistant Attorney General Katie Johnson is here, and she'll be serving as the board's counsel to help us with any deliberations. Not the deliberation, but legal advice we might need. And she will not be advocating for the position of the staff or the casino patron yourself. Again, this is a board review of the interception and forfeiture of Patron B's October 7th, 2019 winnings at Hollywood Casino in Bangor. The matter is being conducted pursuant again to 8 MRS Section 103, subsections 3, 1, and 2, and the board rules in Chapter 13, Section 8. The matter is being held at the request of yourself, Mr. B. Is there anyone here that will be representing the Gambling Control Board staff?
That would be me, Ron Gay, Assistant Attorney General.
All right, welcome, Mr. Gay. And Mr. B, are you here by yourself, or did you bring counsel? You're here by yourself? Okay. At this point, Assistant Attorney General Katie Johnson is going to ask a series of questions about possible bias. I would request that the board members please answer in the affirmative by a show of hands. If you do answer affirmatively, please identify yourself for the record. At this point, I'll turn it over to Katie.
Okay. The first question is, does any member of the board have any reason, such as personal bias or a conflict of interest, that would prevent him or her from rendering an impartial decision in this matter?
No.
I believe the answer is no. However, I need to disclose that the materials that were sent to us inadvertently by email were read by me before we were told you shouldn't read them.
Okay.
Given the state of my life right now, I recall very little of what I read, but I did read through them. So.
Okay. Do you feel like you would be conflicted out in any
not
way?
At all.
Okay, because it would be up to you to decide.
Yes, no.
Okay. So, based on that, I believe there's no affirmative response to that question. Does any other person present at the hearing believe there is any reason that would prevent any board member from rendering an impartial decision in this matter? There's been no affirmative response. If there are any objections to any pre-hearing proceedings, that is, the procedure of this case up to this point, please stand, state your name for the record, and state the objection and the basis for that objection. No affirmative response. That's the end of the questioning.
Okay, so at this point, there's no reason for anyone to be recuse themselves from the hearing, so we'll begin with the hearing. So, any information or documents that the parties want the board to consider must be introduced during this proceeding, unless I order otherwise. Once we get underway, I may request documents from the board file that the board may wish to consider and introduce them into the record. Mr. B, you, sir, will have the opportunity to go first and present your evidence. Board members can ask you questions, and after you present, then Mr. Gay will present additional evidence you're requesting for the board to consider, and board members may again ask questions. I'd ask that everyone speak one at a time, loudly and clearly, because this is being recorded for the record, and I'd ask that when board members ask a question, you identify yourself when you speak. So before we get started, I would ask who in this room is going to be presenting evidence or testifying before the board. I ask you, raise your hand and stand. So you're going to be presenting some evidence? Is there?
While we're talking.
Okay.
But you're going to be testifying, go ahead, stand up.
Stay standing, please, and is there anyone else?
Why don't you, just in case, I might need you.
All right. So right now, my understanding is you are the only two who wish to testify. There's no one else in the room on your behalf, Mr. Gay?
Right.
And no one else on your behalf. All right, so I'd ask you to raise your right hand. Do you swear or affirm that the testimony you give here today will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
I do.
Okay, please be seated. All right, at this point, I would ask for opening statements. This is your opportunity, just as freely as you want, let her go. Let us know what you like to hear.
The question I had with the board meeting about 3 years ago, there was a letter sent by the state of Maine with a self-exclusion. I don't know if anybody's got a copy of that, because I lost mine. There was a letter sent to me that stated, we notice you're on the self-exclusion list.
Okay.
The state has taken it over. And it says, in order for you to continue on the self-exclusion list, you need to come, they give five different places to go to.
Okay.
Okay? Well, I decided not to, because when I self-excluded myself for life, which I did, I made a bad mistake. Right. I was having a bad day, so I self-excluded myself. When I received that letter that stated that I need to go to these places to sign up, what they said in the letter, it stated that if you decide not to, you know, sign up again for self-exclusion list, just let your casino know, and you can, you know, in other words, I thought I could go back. Right, because I didn't sign up. My name is not on the state of Maine. If there's a list somewhere, I shouldn't even be on there. Does okay. anybody know about this letter that was sent to the people that was, when the state took over the self-exclusion list?
So just a clarifying question, do you have, I think I heard you say you don't have a copy
of that. No, I lost it, I've been looking for it, but I had, when I was at the casino, when they took the money, mm-hmm. I explained that to them, and the lady that was there, she says she can give me a letter. And on my way home, she called me on my cell phone. On the way home on my cell phone, and she's trying to explain to me that letter. I said, well, it doesn't say it that way. And she told me to shut up, all right? She told me to be quiet, listen to me. I said, the letter, I remember this letter when I got it in the mail, what it says. So that's why I was wondering if anybody's got a copy of the letter that was sent out 3 years ago.
All right, so let me stop you here, because I'm letting you get just a little ahead of yourself. This was a chance for an opening statement into what you wish us to know about what you might present. So you're kind of getting into now presenting evidence or not, which is okay. We don't do these every day. So at this point, you've stated your opening position of you feel that you shouldn't have been on that list any longer. And
because
we'll give you a chance
stated,
to present.
The letter stated that if you do not wish to continue on the self-exclusion list, just let your casino know.
Okay. All right.
That's what it said at the end of the letter.
Okay. All right. And so you have
I don't have the letter.
No letter or other evidence.
Then I looked for it. It's been like 3 years ago.
Okay. All right.
And
let's stop there and let's see if the board has any questions based on your opening statement. Are there any questions from the board of patron B? Okay. So Mr. Gay, I give you an opportunity at this point. Do you have an opening statement that maybe you can help
direct? Yeah, let me, if you will. So I think that was opening statements, and I think we kind of melded into the next stage after that. I'm gonna suggest that for the purposes of efficiency of the hearing, that we accept
his statements as facts, so instead of me having him testify, he's just testified as well as made it, making an opening statement. With that, prior to my opening statement, I'd like to move the admissions of exhibits 1 through, my goodness, I believe it's 7, and I provided a copy to patron B. Yes, I'd like to move for the admissions of exhibits 1 through 7. Patron B has seen them, so patron B, do you have any objections to the board getting these documents? Doesn't mean you agree with what's in them, but do you have any?
No, no.
Okay, thank you. All right, with that, I'm going to use the exhibits as sort of the basis for my opening statement. I'm going to suggest you turn to exhibit number 6.
Before we turn to them, should they be accepted into evidence before the board reviews them?
I'm sorry, there was no objection, so I guess go ahead if you want to formally accept.
Okay, so you're okay, you've had a chance, the opportunity to look at these, and again, you don't have to agree with what's here, but you've had a chance to see them. All right, so hearing no objection, I would introduce into evidence, or accept into evidence, exhibits 1 through 7. Now you
Thank
can proceed.
You. So I would ask the board, exhibit 6 essentially is the meat of the matter. Though these are proposed findings of fact. At hearings, parties are allowed to suggest to you what the findings should be. So it's sort of like a scorecard. And so it lays out the law and, not the law, I'm sorry, it lays out the evidence. Now, my case is purely based on the exhibits, the other exhibits you have in front of you. So for each finding of fact, I'm suggesting to you, all you need to do is take a look at these documents and they prove out the elements that are required. I also enclose exhibit number 7, which is the rules. And the proposed findings of fact do line up with linearly with the rules. So my argument is just purely based on the exhibits, purely based on the documents. There is sufficient evidence that patron B was self-excluded, that the rule specifically requires that in order to be removed from the self-exclusion, that the board would remove him. That, in fact, the board has not removed him. Patron B does introduce an interesting argument that I was unaware of prior to 5 minutes ago, that there is enough, that he is making an argument that by some type of administrative act, he was removed from self-exclusion. So my opening statement, because I'm relying on exhibits, I don't have to wait, I'm also essentially making a closing argument, that the letter, I'm not saying it's not true, he might misremember it, but the rules require that the board affirmatively remove him. A letter from the former executive director or somebody else saying, hey, you're no longer on the self-exclusion list, would not be enough under the rules. So I appreciate that he may have received the letter and may be confused as to what it says. But that's essentially, we think that documents are clear. Patron B should not receive his jackpot now.
Okay. Are there questions the board may have? If not, I have one.
I got one.
Okay.
Great. Go ahead.
Either way, go ahead.
It did. So patron B was on the exclusion list, but it was allowed into the casino?
Yes, there's, I believe, if you take a look, there's a document from filed with the casino. It's exhibit number, and just to be clear for the record, I'm not testifying, but I'm pointing out in the records. There is a report in there It's the first page of Exhibit 3. Patron did not self...
Hold it. This isn't tabbed very well, but okay.
Well, I apologize. It's on Exhibit number 3, it says, patron did not self-identify by utilizing a marquee card while playing or by conducting a transaction requiring an ID. So that's how they would know, okay? So he didn't use any, he did not interact with the casino in any manner that would have required him to disclose his identity. So that, therefore, this is an issue that we're not, you know, as a department, we were not concerned about what the casino did.
So when someone's on the self-exclusion list, they can go into a casino?
Yes.
I mean, it uses as a little checkpoint there, and they may look at a driver's license or whatever. But that's not where they're trying to find out if someone's self-excluded or not.
I would have to call a casino witness because I am an attorney.
Well, Mel, do you know the answer to that?
Well,
this is a hearing.
It is a hearing. I think at this point, I think we need to contain ourselves to the evidence at hand and what's being presented, and not whether or not the casino may have acted in error in allowing them in.
Okay.
I think the hearing what we have before us is they were identified as being self-excluded, at least at the point of payment, and that's where the forfeiture happened. Okay. And the question.
Okay. That's correct, sir. So
let me ask if there's other questions first, because we're at the point of asking.
I'm sorry, Chair. We just said opening statements. We haven't done witnesses. Typically, the questions are for the witnesses, and I know he kind of testified. Yeah. I want to be clear. I'm not testifying. I'm just making an argument.
Yeah, understood. Are there any questions related to what Mr. Gay has said so far? I have one question.
What Mr. Gay
has said as part of his opening.
My only question relates to Exhibit 4, the written notice which states that the winnings were won at Oxford. That was an error?
Yeah.
I can call a witness and cover that, but
okay.
I believe the department believes it's an error.
Okay. So you may want to do that to clarify Exhibit 4. But one question I have, Patron B in his opening argument referred to a letter that he's lost. Is the state in possession of that letter that he's referring to? Do you know what it is, and are you in possession of it at this hearing?
I would have to call a witness to ask whether he's aware of it. As an attorney, I'm not aware of it.
Okay.
And this is something, again,
right,
there's no requirement for him to,
all right,
tell us what his arguments were ahead of time.
So. Nope, I understand that. I understand
so
your answer.
So we're not prepared.
Okay, so at this point, I'd give you, Patron B, just an opportunity to, because you did kind of go from your opening argument into your case, but I'd give you a chance to add to that anything you'd like to do at this point before your closing argument. This isn't your closing.
No.
Do you have anything else that you wish to state that maybe you thought of?
Okay, so when I went back after receiving that letter stating those things I said, I've been going back to the casino for at least 3 years, about once a month, okay? They've let me in for all these 3 years. I've been in, they know me, I've been there since they were open on Miller Street, you know, Miller Restaurant, when they were in there when they first come in. So they should have known, you know, I'm coming in, because the letter told me that I could, it's basically, that's what I thought. And if I was trying to hide something, why would I try to cash a jackpot? I could have found somebody else to cash it for me. You know what I'm saying? Why would I cash a jackpot if I knew that, you know, they would know, right? So
correct.
That's what happened.
You're starting to get to your closing, and I'm
yeah.
giving
okay.
you lots
and,
of leeway because...
So just one more thing I want to read here.
This is your chance to introduce evidence.
Okay. There's evidence right here.
Okay.
What will happen if you sign up for self-exclusion? The casinos must not allow a person on the list to enter the building or use the privileges. Cannot allow. I've been going for 3 years. I've been spending my money there. They took my money, I won a jackpot, now they take the jackpot. That's my intention.
Okay. All right.
May I cross-examine the witness?
I think that would be appropriate, and then I think it may also be appropriate for you to also call your witness to clarify a couple of items within the exhibits.
All right. Patron B, when did you self-exclude?
Well, about 6, 7 years ago, it's just dated in here.
Right, no, I'm just asking.
Yeah, well, about 6, 7 years ago.
And I can ask that we go into an executive, just want to be clear, we can clear the room to get some of this testimony, but if you can avoid sort of personal information, if you want to just sort of like summarize, I'm going to ask this question. Be aware, if you get into really personal stuff, you have the right to ask for the public to leave. So let me take a shot at doing it, and give you a shot without us having to do that. Why did you ask for self-exclusion? What was it 6 or 7 years ago?
This is what happened. I went into the casino with $600. Okay. I come out of there with nothing.
Okay.
So then I had a bad moment and I figured I'd do it. So I did it right then on the same day. I went back down the elevator, went right in, not thinking, you know, it's life instead of 3 or 5 years. And after I did it, and I said, what'd you do that for? You know, a lifetime. I mean, you could have done it for 5 years, you know. And that's what happened. But then I received that letter. That letter that stated what I said.
Okay.
It said, if you want to continue to be on the self-exclusion list, you need to come to these 5 different places. They were naming places here in Augusta, in Bangor, there's a couple of places. And I said, I'm not going to do it.
Understood.
I'm going to self-exclude myself. Why would I wanted out of it.
Yep.
So that's what I did.
Okay. Thank you for answering my question. So 6 or 7 years ago, you self-excluded because you had lost, you said, about
$500.
$600. And then you said 3 years ago you started gambling again?
When I received the letter. I didn't go back until I got that letter. When I got that letter that stated what I just did, I've said it 3 times already. I can almost say the letter by heart. Boy, I look for that letter. I've been looking for that thing. I lost it.
Yeah, we'll see.
But that letter's somewhere.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll see if we can track that letter down here in a minute.
But
I'm more interested to ask you questions at this point. So, other than the letter, what else changed in your life? Why did you feel like that you were able to start gambling?
Well, I have a new partner, and she likes to go to the casino.
Okay.
Okay. And keep in mind, if you feel any of this is personal and you wish the board to hear it outside the public, let us know.
Well, the only thing I thought he was in here for me. But apparently,
No, he's representing the Department of Public Safety, the state.
Well, he shook my hand in the sense that I thought maybe he was representing me. But right. So, what was the question? About my girlfriend?
No, I didn't ask you a question about your girlfriend.
Well, changed.
Yeah, no,
changed.
I was trying to. So, have you, in the last 3 years, have you lost the same kind of money that you did before?
No.
Okay.
We usually go in with $100, then we're out of there. And
so had you ever won a jackpot before this, where you went out to the cashier prior to this? This one way
that
you intercepted?
Yeah. It was $1,200.
Okay.
Same machine. It was the same machine.
And you cashed
and
it?
And I cashed it, right in the...
Same casino?
Same casino. Oh, which
one? About when did that happen?
Oh, jeez. A year and a half ago.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Go
ahead, sir. No, I want you to answer completely.
No, I'm just saying they should know me by now. I've been going there for since, you know what I'm saying?
Okay. How often do you go?
Oh, once a month now.
Once a month.
Well, now I'm stopped now because it took my they said I was, you know, the letter didn't make a difference.
Had you ever asked the board, this group here, to be taken off the self-exclusion list? I know what your answer is, but I need to ask the question.
Actually, I was going to ask the board today if I could be excluded, even though I think I was excluded by the letter, but maybe not. But that's what the letter stated. Because it says, if you want to continue to be on the self-exclusion list, you need to do this.
Okay, can you just answer the one question directly? He asked, have you ever...
I'm just not used to this.
No, me either.
Okay, go ahead.
Have you ever approached the board in writing or otherwise to ask to be removed from the self-exclusion list?
The board itself? No.
Okay.
No.
Any other questions, Mr. Gay?
None of this witness.
Okay. All right. Is there anything else that you would like to do before? We'll do closing arguments in a minute, but if you have nothing else...
Well, I'd like to ask if I could be, you know, if I'm not.
We'll do that in a minute. I think what you want to do now is you want to wrap this up and make an argument to us that...
Oh, I don't...
That's your closing statement. It's a chance to kind of tell us why you think you should receive this money instead of having it forfeited for you. That would be a closing argument. But do you have any other evidence that you wish us to proceed or anyone else you think you want to call for a witness?
No.
All right. Mr. Gay, do you have any witnesses
I'm
you'd
gonna
like to...
I'm going to call Mr. Champion. Kind of unfair to him, but... Go ahead, come up. No, please.
No, you can stay right there and Mr. Champion...
Oh, you get a mic over there?
Yes. Yeah, I've got one. Yeah. I can still over here.
Okay, that's fine. Remind you, Mr. Champion, you're under oath.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Gay, go ahead.
So, you were in the room, you heard Patron B testify. Are you familiar with the letter he's making reference to? Have you come across it?
Yes, one time or another, in looking at past documents, I did run across the letter. I believe,
I'm sorry,
if this is the one that he's talking about, I can further define it if you like, but yes.
Yeah. I know we have a time frame here. Is it something easily accessible?
Yes. In my electronic.
In your office?
Yes.
Okay. I'm going to ask, since he's asking for it, if Mr. Champion could, he or Mallory, get a copy of it, if he's willing to put it to evidence, if the board finds it helpful. But before we do that, so we'll ask for like a 1 minute recess. The letter will speak for itself, but to your recollection, what does the letter say?
Well, to my recollection, I believe, I'm not specific about the year, but at one point the board decided to take over the self-exclusion list. And in doing so, letters were issued to those currently self-excluded individually by the casinos. So if, in this case, Patron B was excluded from Hollywood Casino, it would be from Hollywood Casino only, as was at the time. Had he gone to Oxford Casino, he would be only self-excluded from Oxford Casino. At the point when the board took over the self-exclusion list, I believe this letter went out that basically stated that you could go to any one of these places and become a part of the state exclusion list, which would include both facilities and not individually those facilities. Since I've been here, November of 2016, it's my understanding that we do have a state list, but then we also honor previous individual self-exclusions as well. And I think we've had other cases that speak to that same ideal.
Okay. When you received the request by Patron B, did you? I guess it's not relevant. He's admitted he hasn't sought removal from the board. Did you see anything in your records that indicated that the board had removed him from the self-exclusion list?
No.
Okay. I think, in fairness to Patron B, he's making reference to the letter. If we can get our hands on it, I'd ask for a very quick 1 minute recess. Milt, if you could.
I agree. We'll take a recess to see if you, within about a 5 minute period, you can find the document.
If I can find it, yep.
And print it out. Thank you.
So at 10:50, we'll be in recess.
You're going to be able to
mute button on the.
little microphone.
There we go.
And hit the mute button.
On the phone.
Yep.
Right there.
That should go green.
There you go.
Yep.
All right. It appears we are back in session. I'll call us the hearing back to order. It's now 11 o'clock. Mr. Gay, we were proceeding with questions of your witness.
Sure. So, Mr. Champion, we've just taken a brief recess. You were in the process of trying to find a copy of the letter that was referred to by patron B. And my understanding is we'll continue to do that during the pendency of the hearing. And to the extent that we are able to find a copy, we will admit it to evidence. I would like to ask you to look at exhibit number two, Mr. Champion. Do you have the exhibits in front of you?
Yes.
And what was the date of the exclusion?
It's March 2nd, 2013.
And I'm going to ask you to take a look at exhibit number seven. It's the rules.
Okay.
Look at page nine of exhibit seven.
There's a copy.
Yeah, once you have it.
Before you leave.
Oh, you did, I just passed them on.
Yeah, don't pass them on yet. Thank you. So, Mr. Champion, have you had an opportunity to look at page number nine? On exhibit number seven? I'm sorry, we're actually in the hearing right now. One second. Exhibit number seven?
Looking there real quick right now.
Page nine, the bottom?
Correct.
What was the date of the latest rule change there?
January 20th, 2014.
And that was a repeal and replace, is that correct?
That's correct.
I'm going to mark as exhibit number eight. So, a letter, so the letter that Mallory just handed to you.
Can we have one?
Can you pass that? Yeah, can you pass one to the phone over there? Thank you.
Yep.
I'm going to ask you to take a look at this document. Excuse me. Do you recognize this letter?
Yes.
Is this a letter that was issued by the Gambling Control Board?
Yes.
Right. Could you speak up, Mr. Champion?
Yes, I'm sorry.
All right. So, I'm going to formally move for its adoption, so I guess...
Mr. B, do you have any reason to object to this letter being introduced?
Well, it's just, okay, this is not the letter I received.
It's not the letter?
This is not the, that don't even look like the one I received.
Okay.
Nothing compared to, it didn't have all this on it.
All right.
Swear to God. I'll swear to God.
Nope. You already swore to God once.
Yeah, I did.
Okay, well...
It's not the letter.
Let's stop for a second. So, you're objecting then? I'll take that as an objection to the introduction of this exhibit. Mr. Gay?
I'm not admitting it for the purposes of showing that he received it, but rather communications that came from the Gambling Control Board subsequent to the rule adoption. I think it's relevant, and it has been authenticated by the executive director. It should be admitted.
Okay, so I've heard your objection. I'm going to allow the introduction for the purpose Mr. Gay stated. as part of your closing, you'll get to argue that that's not the letter that you received. So, okay, so that is admitted.
All right, Mr. Champion, I'm going to ask you to read the last paragraph right above the signature line from that letter.
It says, if you choose not to join the state exclusion list, please contact the casinos prior to returning, as they have been given the right to enforce their current exclusion list. If you have any questions regarding this letter, please contact the Gambling Control Board office at 626-3900. Thank you for your cooperation in this matter.
I have nothing further for this witness. I would recall Patron B.
Okay. You're all set, Mr. Champion. So you have a few more questions of Patron B.
Yes. Patron B, I understand you say this is not the letter you received, but my question is, did you ever contact casinos prior to returning that you did not wish to remain currently excluded?
I called a casino 5-6 times trying to get somebody. And if we get a hold of anybody. So I took it, the letter meant to me, I could go back, you know what I'm saying, the way it said. But this is not the letter that I received.
You'll get to make that, just answer his questions.
That's the only question I have.
Yes, I called him.
Okay.
Did you speak to them?
No.
Thank you.
Okay. Any further questions? All right. So in terms of closing arguments, Kate, who would go first, and then we'll take, you may have a question, but.
I think maybe the next step is to ask if there are any, you know, questions of the witnesses, if you haven't done so already, from the board.
Okay, excellent. So are there questions of witnesses, Barbara?
It was mentioned earlier that the reason that the casino wasn't aware that you were there was because you didn't use a player card. Why is it that you don't use a player card if you've been going regularly?
Okay, the reason I don't, because I always leave it in the machine. Sometimes I think it's rigged. That's why I never used the card.
Thank you.
Because they know what's going on, so I figure it was rigged if you use it. So.
Okay. Any other questions by board members of the witnesses? Seeing none. I think at this point we're prepared for closing arguments. Who would proceed first?
He would, me, then he gets a rebuttal.
Okay. So at this point, Mr. B, this is your chance to kind of wrap up your argument. Tell us that based on the evidence why you think these funds should be returned to you instead of being forfeited. We'll then give Mr. Gay on behalf of the state a chance to make his closing, and then you'll have a final closing after hearing that. Okay, so go ahead, sir.
Okay, my reason is when I received a letter stating about the self-exclusion list, and the way I read it is that I didn't go for these places to sign up for it. I thought it was pretty clear. I tried to call them 5 times. I even left a message trying to find out if I could. The other reason I have, like I said, it states right here, the casino must not allow a person on the list to enter the building or use privileges. Okay, I've been going back, like I said, for 3 years, once a month or so. I spent my money, they took my money, they allowed me into the casino. I thought I was legally there. You know, I won the jackpot, you know what I'm saying? I could have got somebody else to take my jackpot, right? But I called the attendants to come over, so I didn't have nothing to hide. And that's my argument. There's nothing I, you know.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Mr. Gambit, after this.
Yes, thank you. We propose findings of fact. The exhibits all prove the facts that are being proposed. Patron B did present an argument, but none of those arguments rebutted any of the facts that you rely on in exhibit number 6. The argument that Patron B presented is that he received a letter, and that the letter allowed him to, essentially, by virtue of the letter, he was removed from the exclusion list. In this proceeding, he is filing an appeal of the interception. He has the burden of producing evidence and proving that we should not have taken. As I've just stated, our exhibits show that the rules not only allow us to take it, but require us to take it. So now, as he should be doing, he's not challenging the exhibits, but rather entering evidence or stating something he remembers. I have no reason to doubt that he might remember it that way. However, the department has introduced a letter that admittedly is not his letter, but is indicative of the kind of letters that did go out at that point in time, which contradict the automatic nature of the rule of the exclusion. The rules are very clearly laid out. They exist right now. There's admittedly, Patron B has never come to the board, asked the board to be removed from the list. He relies merely on the receipt of a letter, which he can't produce. He has the burden of producing evidence to show that we should have intercepted the jackpot. It's not done so. That's all right.
Okay, and Patron B, you have the opportunity now to give one final statement. If you want to, you don't have to.
Well, while I'm here, I had to travel to get here. It's been 6-7 years. If I could be reconsidered, or whatever you call it, to get back.
We can take that up afterwards. What I would suggest is that you hang after the board meeting closes, make application. Mr. Champion or his staff can help you with that, and the board would consider that at a subsequent meeting. Okay. And at that meeting, you'd also have the right to be present and make arguments for that.
At this time, we move for deliberations, and with that, as is custom, we will remove ourselves from the table.
Okay. All right, thank you to both parties. I now declare this matter closed. The board will conduct its deliberations on the evidence in the record. Only on testimony and exhibits that have been made part of the record may be considered by the board. Patron B is welcome to stay in the room.
Yes.
I don't know if he knew that.
I think he's texting.
Mr. You're welcome to stay in the room during this portion. We just removed you from the table. I didn't want you to think you had to leave. So again, only exhibits that have been made part of the record may be considered by the board, and also testimony. The board's deliberations are conducted in public session, and any persons in the audience are invited to remain. However, no further evidence or argument will be taken during deliberations, and no statement from any person other than a board member or the board's counsel will be allowed. The board ordinarily votes on decisions immediately following the deliberations. This vote is also taken in public session, and the board will issue a formal written decision reciting that the decision that was made at a later date. So thank you for your participation and attendance, and the board will now move into deliberations. So this is the time for the board to ask questions, talk amongst ourselves about what we found to be compelling or should sway us in our decision, to convince each other of how we should vote. And once we've completed discussion, I would get to the point where, when I feel it's appropriate, someone can make a motion, and then we'll vote on that motion. So I turn it over to the board.
I'll make one comment, Mr. Chairman. Just the letter that was produced by Mr. Champion. Just as I was reading that, this letter went out in February of 14, and Mr. B self-excluded in October of 13. So this came out after he self-excluded. And in reading it, it basically says, and this comes from the executive director, Pat Fleming, that tells about the state has taken over the self-exclusion list from the two casinos. And the very bottom paragraph says, if you choose not to join the state exclusion list, please do something. But if I was reading that, and I stopped right there, I could see where I might say, I don't want to join the state self-exclusion list. And therefore, I can see maybe where the action might have been taken. Again, I know Mr. B said this is not the letter received, but I'm guessing that it'd be pretty close to it if this not wasn't the letter that was received. So I think there's some ambiguity in the communication process.
Okay.
Mr. Chair, I think I agree with that statement. And also in paragraph two, this letter is to invite you to join the State of Maine Gambling Control Board self-exclusion list. This can be done by coming to the Gambling Control Board, blah, 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 and it lists all these other places. And then it goes into that final paragraph. If you choose to not join the state exclusion list, please contact the casinos prior to. I can see where there's confusion on that. And also with regards to going into the casinos for 3 years, and you know, having been known in the casinos, you know, he was never approached, which may not be, you know, something that's unusual, because you know the casinos see people all the time. It's not necessary that the people who see him know that he's on the exclusion list. However, you know, this is a little bit confusing. The facts are the facts, though. I mean, I agree with that, and I can see where he would be confused with regards to what to do with regards to exclusion. Basically, in my mind, if you're already on it, it's saying invite you to get back on it, that it may apply to some folks, the way you read it, that you were taken off. The exhibits that were provided, however, the rules are pretty clear that once you're on it, you have to go through this real restrict process to get excluded, to get reinstated so that you can go back into the casinos. But I think these two documents are a little bit in conflict. One is very clear in the exhibits. This is what you got to do. I think the letter that went out kind of introduced a little bit of confusion as to what the individuals that were receiving the letters, and Patron B being one of them, should have done, although he says he didn't get this specific letter.
Any other questions of Barbara?
I disagree a bit about the letter. Although I do agree that this is, based on the testimony, that this is likely representative of the letter that he received, even if it may have been slightly different. In the last paragraph, if you choose not to join the state exclusion list, please contact the casinos prior to returning, as they have been given the right to enforce their current exclusion list. So I think that makes it clear that you proceed with caution if you return to a casino that you're on the list for. So that's as to the letter.
I guess I would agree with Barbara. I think that the letter is, I read it two or three times, but I still think it's clear enough so that it should be, it pretty much speaks for itself as far as I'm concerned. But, I guess I just don't see whether this will allow somebody to individually repeal their exclusion from the casinos, I guess, without, I mean, it's pretty clear what to do.
Just from my standpoint, just to stay on this particular topic, I agree with Barbara and Al that it's clear enough, and I'm also not swayed by the testimony that this is not the letter he received. So some parts of me want to, you know, disregard it altogether as it's not the letter. I mean, this. Really, the state afforded him the opportunity to try to find what he was referring to and didn't have to help Patron B. And Patron B's testimony was that's not the letter. So we're speculating that his letter may have been similar to this, and likely it was, but I don't think we have enough information to know that this is the letter he's referring to. So given that, I would either disregard it all together as it not being the letter, or lean towards what Barbara and Al have had to say, in that this still states that you're excluded until you contact the casino, because they're going to enforce their current exclusion list. And although his testimony was that he made efforts to do that, there was no evidence that he actually did it one way or another. In fact, he stated he never made contact with him. So, to that particular point. Any other findings of facts or questions, or Barbara?
As to the proposed findings of fact, I'm in agreement with them, with a few changes. I think we should specify that his lifetime request for self-exclusion was made at Hollywood solely. And so that would be in number one. In number five, Patron B's self-exclusion had not been voided by the board or by Hollywood, because it wasn't the board's list that was being violated, it was Hollywood's. And I think we need to add in, I believe, reference to the letter and the fact that it gave notice that the Hollywood list would continue.
I personally agree with all the corrections up until the letter. The letter, to me, is almost irrelevant from the standpoint that I'm persuaded by his testimony that this is not the letter he received. And so I think we would be speculating to say that it was consistent. And then if you take the rest of the findings of fact, I don't know how relevant it is. I can be persuaded otherwise, but I'm just not sure that referring to this letter is entirely helpful when it's not the letter. I do understand the state's testimony that this is, was presented as something that was indicative of the type of letter that went out at the time, but it's not the letter.
Can I just comment on your comment?
Sure.
I know what Mr. B testified that this wasn't his letter, but this fits the pretty much as he described what he thought he received, which is a letter from the gambling control unit, and basically it told him that he had to go to the multiple places he could go to. And here you got, what, 8 different locations that he could go to. So I would lean the fact that that is the letter.
Okay.
Or a facsimile of the letter what he would receive. And then I would stay with, I think the letter is very not clear. And I can see where someone would read it, and not reading the fine print down the very bottom, but looking at the paragraph that Greg pointed out, this letter invite you to join the Maine State Gambling Control Board self-exclusion list. He says, no, I don't want them.
Okay.
So I can see how that would play out.
Any other points from the board? Okay, hearing none. Barbara, you think you're at the point where you can reiterate the findings of fact, including the recommended changes, and then make a motion to the board?
Sure. I'm not sure what the general consensus is as to the letter, but not sure that it...
I think your original thought is where the rest of the board is.
Okay. Well, then my motion would be that we accept the proposed findings of fact set forth in Exhibit 6 with revisions being made to number 1 to specify that the lifetime request for self-exclusion was made at Hollywood, and to revise number 5 to say that the board finds that Patron B's self-exclusion had not been voided by the board or by Hollywood prior to October 7, 2019. And then I would add an additional finding that states that Exhibit 8 represents Exhibit 8 is representative of the letter that Patron B said he received from the board.
Okay. Does the rest of the board object to any of that as redrafted? Seeing none, those will become the findings of fact if there's a motion made. So hearing no other testimony, I'd entertain a motion.
That was a motion, sorry.
Okay, so the motion is to deny his request, or to uphold the...
Yes.
The forfeiture of the winnings.
Correct.
Based upon the findings of fact. Is there a second to the motion?
I'll second.
Hearing nothing further, those in favor? Those opposed? All right, so we have a tie. I am going to vote in favor, so that would be 3-2, the motion passes, and the forfeiture is upheld. Okay? My understanding, Kate, is if he wishes to appeal the board's decision, that's to Superior Court?
Correct.
Okay, so you'll receive a letter, Mr. B., with a further direction, and also in terms of your request during the meeting to be removed from the self-exclusion. I invite you to hang and talk to the staff to do that. Okay? Now, go ahead.
And he will also receive a copy of the decision in order, which I'm preparing right now.
Okay, so you're going to receive that, it's being prepared as we speak. So again, the results of the vote were 3-2 to uphold, so that motion passes. Pursuant to 8 MRS Section 103, Subsection 3I2, and Board Rules Chapter 13, Section 8, the winnings of Mr. B. on October 7, 2019, in the amount of $1,346.06 will be intercepted and forfeited by the state of Maine. And I now declare this hearing closed. All right, so that brings us, before we go further, I'd like to go back to the self-exclusions. At the recess, it was recommended by our attorney that we can reconsider our denial of the self-exclusions, to call it a preliminary denial rather than a denial. That would give the two patrons in question the opportunity to come back to us rather than potentially have to go to court. It just makes it clearer that they may get another bite of the apple if they bring back other information that the board can consider. So who made the motion in the second?
May I just add something too?
Sure.
So, and I was thinking a little bit more about Barbara's comments too, is that, you know, if you look at the actual letters from them, you know, when you're doing a preliminary denial or any denial of any kind, you want to make sure you have evidence on the record to support that.
Yeah.
So, you know, in the preliminary denial letter, we'd have to state, okay, this is why we're denying it. So, you know, if you do decide to deny it, you know, just make sure that you articulate some sort of evidence supporting that denial.
So by changing it to a preliminary denial, that'll give them the information that we're looking for and the opportunity to come back.
Right, and I just ask that you articulate that here, you know, why you're denying it.
Okay. All right, so who made the motion in the second? Well, let's open it back up.
It was Bob who made the motion. Yes, it was Bob who made the motion, and then Greg seconded it.
Okay, so you withdraw your motion?
I do.
Withdraw your second?
I do.
All right, so it's back on the table for discussion. Mr. Gay, you had something you wanted to say?
Yeah, I just, for sake of, because I'm an enforcement lawyer, and typically I handle docketed items, so it sounds like you would like to migrate the request to come from off self-exclusion as sort of contested matters, and that's fine. I just want to be sure I understand that. Usually preliminary denials are in the context of a license, so you enforce, you grant licenses, so preliminary denial is denial of a license. The ability to gamble in the state of Maine is not the same type of property right as a license. A license is a constitutionally held right. It's perfectly fine to have that structure. I just want to be clear that if in the future you would like to see, sort of like what we did for the forfeiture, that we actually have like a hearing on it, and we have evidence, and then we present records that you guys vote on, because you're right. Right now it's being dealt with like an ordinary business item on the thing. We're not actually doing a hearing. You guys are just voting at a meeting. So just like some clarification from the board, whether we formalize it or not.
I don't hear from the board that we want to have a hearing on these matters or formalize it. I think what we're suggesting is, based on the information that was presented to us, it would be helpful if those wishing to bring information to the board are directed to bring information if they've received counseling, so that the board may better direct it. I don't think, and the board can jump in, I don't think we want a hearing on these things. We're just looking for more information.
I agree.
And so, Kate?
I mean, maybe the better thing to do in this instance would be to table it and give them the opportunity to, you know, request more information instead of denying it outright.
If the board's good with that, I'd recommend we send back to them a note suggesting the type of information that might be helpful in our deliberation, essentially seeking counsel. Maybe that's cleaner. So if the board's happy with that, I'm very happy with that, I'd seek a second, a new motion.
I'd motion to table those two requests for coming off the self-exclude.
With a letter from the executive director.
Delivered by the executive director, yes.
Just want to comment that my only concern is that our rules don't provide us with that criteria. And until they do, I don't know how we can say, okay, we're going to deny this unless you bring us this, this, and this. I don't feel comfortable with that.
Okay. Is there a second to the motion of tabling? All right, so Barbara's point, it's a good one. I'm comfortable with it because it doesn't provide us a lot of direction. We have to do the best we can. And I think asking for this type of information would be helpful to me as at least one person to figure out whether or not they should be removed from the self-exclusion list.
So if they don't provide that to us, they stay on the list forever?
If they don't provide us any further information, we have to make a decision at some point. We're tabling our decision, and that'll be something we'll have to decide as a board at that time. So anything else? So hearing none, those in favor of tabling, based on the motion, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed?
I don't know. Given my position, I'm not in favor of tabling, yet I'm not in favor of denying. So can I abstain?
Absolutely. Yep. So 4-4 and one abstention. All right. Item B under number 7. ADW notices regarding continued wagering in Maine?
Yes. We anticipated having a cease and desist order available to be heard today, and we in fact do not have one. So okay. The board would like an update on, I know you indicated earlier updates on investigations. I think we can do that at a very high level, or we can just bring them to you. Think they're ready.
I would bring them to us as you think they're ready.
All right. Thank you.
Item C, my understanding is now there's no need for that. No need for the board to take any action on item C under new business, the Valley name change.
No, I discussed that in the executive director's report and I follow through per follow up.
All right. Anything else from the board under new business? Seeing none, that brings us to public comment. Is there anyone here from either the facilities or from the general public that would like to comment before the board? All right, seeing none. That brings us to our next meeting date. We anticipate meeting January 21st, 2020. Anything else from the board?
Has there been any updates from the governor's office as to new nominations?
I look back at the our prior status, and I can actually email a Secretary of State report that shows our dates that we were appointed and when they expired. We are all expired. And I think that our the typical process seems to be in the February time frame of when the appointments were made. And most people come into office around August. So I anticipate seeing you after the new year. So if I hear anything or the commissioner does, he's been very good, Mill. He's been very good about letting us know. So. Okay, so with that, have a happy holiday, prosperous new year, see you back here next year.
Make one more comment. In regards to the gentleman's request to be removed from self-exclusion, that will be directed specifically to Hollywood, not to the board. This is my understanding.
Meet with him after and...
We'll meet with him afterward, but it's with the understanding he's not going to be coming back to the board. It's something that's specifically with Hollywood Casino.
Okay. That's for you to meet. So...
Thank you.
Motion to adjourn is in order.
So moved.
Second? Motion is second. Those in favor? We stand adjourned.
Hey, Tim. I have the order right here. I'm going to